another chance coming up. So what's Connect's breakfast? Connect's breakfast, if you're new at Brighton, we love to have breakfast in our coffee shop and just tell you who we are. We introduce ourselves. I introduce you to the pastoral staff, introduce you to some board members, and we just tell you a little bit about who we are. We love you. We love to eat, and that's what we do. And so that's what Connect's breakfast is. But if you missed it, you got another opportunity. Next month, what we'll do on the 4th, so the first Sunday of the month, we're going to have coffee with Pastor. And so if you haven't been to that, I reserve a table back here, and we'll have coffee. You can ask me questions. We can talk. We get to know each other, and we just hang out. And so if you do that, don't worry. That won't discount you from going to Connect's breakfast. We'll have another one the following month. But that's just a little time, a little in-between time for you to get to know me, a personal conversation, have coffee. I mean, I love coffee. I've had like 6-7 shots already, so I'm good to go now. And so we love coffee here at Brighton. So that's what that is, and so we invite you to that. Hey, right now, I want you to do me a favor. Would you stand with me? Everybody stand up in God's house this morning. What I want to do this morning is I think we need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our country. I mean, most of you, if you're not seeing what happened yesterday, you're living under a rock. And so we had, like yesterday, you know, there was an assassination attempt. And so we need to pray. I want to ask you to pray for our nation. I want to ask you, no matter which side of the aisle you land on, we're going to pray for former President Trump, his family. Imagine what his family is going through this time. I want to ask you to pray for the bystander that was shot and killed and the other one that was injured. And so we're just going to pray for these this morning. So would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord God. God, first and foremost, we pray for our nation. God, we need healing in our nation. God, there's such hatred. There's such division in our nation. God, we pray that you join us together, Lord God, that never before, God. God, it can only happen through your hands, God, that you bring unity in our nation, God. You bring us together, Lord Jesus, God. God, you unite us under this banner of love, Lord Jesus, God. We pray, God, you begin to heal our nation. God, I pray for former President Trump, God, you bring healing to his body, Lord Jesus, God. We know it was only a year, Lord God, but had to take a lot out of him physically, emotionally, Lord. So we pray for him. We pray for his family, that you bring peace and comfort to him, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, for this man who lost his life, Lord Jesus, God. We pray for his family. God, you bring your peace, your comfort would surround his family, Lord Jesus, God. God, we pray, Lord God, you do a miracle in our country, Lord God. God, bring us together. Let love shine, Lord God. Let us set the example, Lord God, as we move forward. God, I pray for these next 100-something days, Lord God, as we go through this election cycle. God, as your will be done. God, you bring unity. God, you bring healing. In your precious holy name we pray. Amen, amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. This is not the sermon, but I wanted to make mention. I think we have to make mention now that as we as Christians, you have to be very careful. Because what happens is, what's happening is society is setting the bar for us. And we as Christians, we're just going along with it. We say, okay, that's the way it is. That's how we're going to do things. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We as Christians are supposed to be setting the standard. We as Christians are supposed to be setting a bar. What am I talking about? What I'm talking about is I know I'm getting older, and it's a sad fact of reality. I'm having difficulty accepting that fact, but I'm getting there. But since I am older, I grew up in a time where we respected the office of the president. We respected the office of the congressman, of the senator, of the governor, of the mayor. It was the office that was held, and we gave respect to the office. And that's just not the way Brent grew up. That's not Brent Hurt theology. Guess where we get that out of? That's scriptural. And so what I'm saying this morning is let's set the bar. I was so shocked. I've been glued to the TV like most of you guys. I've been taking this all in, watching the news. I was so shocked One reporter started reading off all this list of highly influential people that essentially made threats against former President Trump. I was blown away. And I know it happens the other side. People make threats against Biden. I understand that. But it just took me back that people would say this out loud, make these threats. And I want to caution you as a Christian, let's set the bar. Let's not mix it up. Let's not get in the mud and make these silly, stupid little comments, these threats. No matter who you're for, no matter who you're against, that's not our job. Our job is to respect the office. Show respect. And so in our family, in our community, in our part of the country, we're going to set the bar here to where we respect. We're going to show respect. Do I agree with everything? Either no. After the debate there tonight, I was asking, what's Plan C? I mean, neither of them looked great. But I'm not going to be slinging mud. I'm not going to be saying, oh, I wish he'd have a heart attack. No. We're going to lead in love and respect. Because guess what? In all reality, it doesn't matter why. Because this is not our home. We're foreigners here. We don't belong here. We're going to heaven. He's making a mansion for me right now. And so what am I going to do while I'm here on earth? I'm going to reflect Jesus. In my conversations, if you dare talk about politics, I'm not brave enough to, but if you dare, you better be reflecting Jesus, because that's what we're called to do. And what society is called to do is rile us up and let us spew hatred. That's the enemy trying to bring division. And so if you can't talk politics without getting your blood pressure up, without spewing hatred, you shut up. We're called to love. Greatest two commandments, most challenging two commandments of the whole entire Bible. Love God, love people. If you agree with them, you don't agree with them. Guess what? It doesn't change. Love God, love people. If you like their politics, you don't. It doesn't change. You love God, you love people. We need to start leading in that way. Again, that's not the sermon. I should close there and have an altar call, but we're not. We're in the minor prophets. I know some of you are like, oh my gosh, the minor prophets. You know, some of you, I say minor prophets, you know, you're like, well, they're so minor, why should we even talk about it? It's not that way at all. We're calling them minor prophets because they're usually short, right? And they were in Haggai. You're like, I don't even know. I didn't even know that was a book in the Bible. And so what you do, if you have your Bible, is if you go to Matthew, flip backwards three books. So you go through Malachi, you go to Zechariah, and then you'll land on Haggai. And that's where it's at. And Haggai is only two chapters. One of the shortest books in the Old Testament. But it starts off with a very important lesson. And I want to describe it like this. It's like every day you exchange a day of your life for something. Okay, imagine if there's like this big box and it's full of coins. I got some kids ministry wooden nickels for you this morning. So this box is full of these magical coins, right? Every day you get one coin issued to you. Every morning it spits out a new coin. It could be the last coin you ever get. You may get a lot more. We don't know. Some people get few. Some people get a lot. Who knows? But what you do is you take that coin and you exchange it for something. So you might take your coin and that day you might exchange it for work. That's a good one. Or you may take your coin and you're going to exchange it maybe for school. Or you take your coin and you exchange it for shopping or church or watching TV or golf or social media, whatever it is, you get one. You get one, you spend it, you never get it back. And so the art of living wise is largely a matter of how you spend your coins. How you spend your coins make a difference in light of eternity. So the challenge is not to waste them. And most of us have discovered that living wisely, it's a difficult thing to do. It's not easy. Because often the choice you have for the day on your coin is not, usually it's not spending on something good or spending on something bad. It'd be great if it was that easy, wouldn't it? usually your choice of your coin for the day is to spend it on something good or spend it on something better. And so that's where the challenge comes into place. And Haggai tells us about this decision-making choice and how to make better choices. And again, if you look at the minor prophets, the last three, we're in a different phase. So the last three of the minor prophets talks about where, you know, the children of Israel, they become captives. You know, the story of their life, the story of our lives. We didn't listen to God. Hello. You know, we all can relate. They didn't listen to God. They become captives of Babylon, right? Well, now it comes to the end of that, okay? So at the end of that, they're being released back. They can go back. And so the last three books in the Old Testament is talking about their journey back to the Promised Land, how they get there, what's going on. And that's where we're at. And Haggai, if you ever read Haggai, again, it'd take you all like 5 minutes. It's two chapters. I challenge you, before you read Haggai, go read Ezra. Because Ezra is like the sister, Haggai is a sister book of Ezra. And so they kind of go together and it explains a lot. Because in Ezra, you see the scribe told how under the protection of King Cyrus, about 583 BC, that Zerubbabel returned to Israel with 50,000 Jews. So 50,000 Jews went back to Jerusalem. They returned there. And they were going to rebuild the city. They're going to restore the city, build the walls, build the temple. Because all this was destroyed by war. And so they go back. They're excited. They've got this project. They get started. They get the foundation poured. And then they face some opposition. Right? People didn't like it. They're like, hey, the Jews are nothing but trouble. Let's stop the work. So they stop the work. So they pause. And it was during this time of pause that God raised up Haggai, along with Zechariah, to encourage the people to start back on the temple. Haggai tells us in no uncertain terms that we absolutely must get our priorities straight, what's first in our lives. That's the whole outline of Haggai is put the first things first. And so we get into this, and the book was written to people just like you and I, right? If you'd ask the people in the book of Haggai, who would be the most important person in your life? They said, God. If I asked a lot of you guys, who's the most important thing in your life? You'd say, God. We just know this, right? We know how to answer this. What's the number one priority in your life? God is. And that's what they would say without hesitation. God is number one in my life. Because they knew that was what the right answer was. God always comes first. They believed that. We believed it. But what you see in the book of Haggai is they kind of drift into this way of life where they claim that God was the most important thing wasn't true. Now, they didn't abandon God. God was a part of their life, but he wasn't the most important thing. I think a lot of us can relate to that, where God is a part of our life, but he's not the most important thing. And it's not that we're bad people. We just get in this mode of life where we drift into this place where he's not the top priority in our life. You say whatever you want to say about the most important thing is your life, but we demonstrate what's most important by really three basic things, don't we? What we talk about, what we spend our time doing, and how we spend our money. Kind of really speaks of what's important in our life. And the Jews in Haggai's day, they weren't no different. They were focused on the things that matter most. And so God sent this prophet Haggai to his people to remind them about the priorities. So our struggle with priorities is nothing new. It's been around for a long time. There's always been somebody stand up and say, hey, your priorities are a little out of whack. Let's rearrange them. That's what we're here to do today. So they get back to Jerusalem. They found a mess. No homes, no temple, no wall to keep the enemy out. I mean, everything basically rebuilt from the ground up. During this time Haggai spoke, and not about their idolatry, not about their mistreatment of the poor, not about their lack of judgment, not about any of that stuff that all the other prophets talked about. They were just guilty of mixing up their priorities. Keep in mind who he's talking to, okay? These people he's talking to, they're not godless people. Okay, let me tell you who they are. So again, they've been in exile for 70 years. So in reality, a lot of the people he's talking to were probably more than likely born in Babylon. They were raised in Babylon. They grew up there. They built a home in Babylon. They had a family. They had a job. They had all this. It'd be like me asking you guys, hey, let's move to Africa. You'd be like, I don't know Africa. I got a home here. I built a life here. I have everything here. This is what's going on. Because these people he's talking to, they don't know Jerusalem. That was mom and dad. That was mom and dad's dream. They always told me about the promised land. They told me about we're going to inherit this land. They told me about this, but I don't know that. But yet these people are the ones who committed themselves to God and said, we're going to go establish this temple. We're going to build the temple. We're going to take back the promised land. We're going to do that. And so these are good people. Like, that takes a lot. Like, what would it take for you to move to Africa tomorrow? Like, it's going to take a lot. That's essentially what's going on here. These are the people Haggai's talking to. So it's not like he's talking to godless people. I mean, they made a choice to go back. They commend themselves to the difficult task of reestablishing the land. So they start. They build a foundation. They get it. I mean, they're pumped. They're excited. And then they kind of drift away. They lost their vision. And then God was no longer a priority. I think they would probably have viewed the rebuilding of the temple as something that was nice, but not necessary, not really essential. But again, the temple was a place to worship God. It represented the heart and soul of the Jewish religion. And so for it to lie in ruins was basically saying they were neglecting God. I imagine we all can relate to that feeling that when you were called to be a Christian, when you were called, when God got a hold of your heart, whether it was at camp, you know, we got kids just got back from kids camp. A lot of us gave our hearts to Christ at kids camp. We got called to kids camp. I mean, we remember that feeling. We remember that first time we were excited about the Spirit of God. We're excited about reading the Bible. We remember we got excited about getting involved, about serving in a church. We loved life. But then things got a little difficult, doesn't it? Maybe you had a personality clash with another Christian. Maybe you got in conflict, or maybe God didn't answer some prayers. And during this time, life just seems to move on. You started a career. You started a family. Bills to pay. All these demands of life just hitting at the same time. And the church and the Lord's work kind of just drifted, right? It's like God's priority, but I got all this other stuff. And see how simple it happens that we're so fired up, we're all in love with God, we're so committed, we're all in. But then somehow it goes from priority to where it drifts to where church is just a part of our life. God's not priority. We still attend church, but it's not the center of our life. It's just part of it. And what do? We tell ourselves, oh, we just don't have time to serve the way we used to, right? I got a job now. I got a family now. I just can't, you know. Someone else, that doesn't have my responsibility, they're going to have to step up. And it's not that you rebelled against God. It's just like you maybe drifted away from God. Brings us back to Haggai. Keep in mind, Haggai started preaching 16 years after they got to Jerusalem. So 16 years have gone by. They've been there 16 years. 16 years. Like, what do you got done? We got the foundation poured. I mean, how many of you be excited about foundation poured in 16 years? Like, bro, it's going to be like, I don't know, like 37 years before you get anything else, it walls up. I mean, what's going to happen here? So 16 years go by, and look at what he says, Haggai says in chapter 1, verse 2. He says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Don't you love it? We always have excuses, don't we? If you ask them why the temple's not been built, what would they say? They said, well, you know, don't get me wrong, we're all for rebuilding the temple. It needs to be rebuilt. We're on it. It's just not the right time. Pastor, I would love to do that. It's just not the right time. You know, don't get us wrong. We're all for it. You know, I didn't know if you know this, but we're in an economic downturn right now. Well, everybody's pinched for money. You know, there's not enough jobs. It's all I can do to provide my family. Times will get better, and when it gets better, I'll start back, and I'll start doing this. And come on. I've heard it. Heard it 1,000 times. It's the same thing we do. I mean, we're so fond of saying it. You know I need to get more serious about studying the Bible. It's just not the right time. With kids, job, and right now it's a busy season. I love that one. It's a busy season. When is it not a busy season? Can I just ask that? I would love to know that, because that would be awesome for me to know when it's not busy season. But, you know, I want to get more serious. I want to give more, but not now. It's just not. I want to be involved more, Pastor. But now is just not the right time. Maybe after we get settled in a new home. Maybe when my kids get a little bit older. Maybe when the kids leave home. Maybe when I retire. I mean, I want to be involved. I want to be active. I want to give more. I really do. It's just not a good time. Can I just say, some of the people that notice the most what your priority in your life is your kids. They know what's priority. And so if you have kids and God is not priority in your life, God is just part of your life, your kids see that. And if God is just part of your life, guess what? God is going to be absent from their life. And your grandkids don't even have a chance. Because God's not priority. God's not priority. Again, you're going to be thinking I'm getting on you. I promise I'm not. I've just seen it happen so many times when God's not priority. Church is optional. God's optional. When the kids become teenagers, when they become young adults, they don't care about that option. And so God's not a part of their life. And so I'm asking you this morning, where are our priorities at? What's taking first place? What you notice in the book of Haggai, the Lord got a little sarcastic with the Jews. He asked them in verse 3 and 4, he said, then the word of the Lord came to, by the hand of Haggai the prophet, is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your panel houses while this house lies in ruins? God says, it's not time to rebuild the temple. Well, isn't it funny how you built your own houses? The house of the Lord lies in ruins. Meanwhile, you put a lot of effort in building your homes. Haggai actually even points out paneling. The shows are not basic shelter. So basically, a typical house in those times were made of rocks or maybe some bricks they baked out in the sun, and that was a house. But these are paneled houses. Oh, it gets even worse. So he says, okay, wait a minute. So in Ezra's account, if you go back to Ezra and see the account, what you see in the book of Ezra is the house, the wood for the Lord's house was already on site. Okay? So that means what they did before they got there is they gave money to the masons and the carpenters. They've gave food and drink and oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre. And they brought these big cedar logs from the Sea of Lebanon to Joppa, authorized by the king. So they had wood on site for the Lord's house. Get this. It gets worse. This wood is for the Lord's temple. What do they do? Well, it's not time for that. It's not time to build. But hay for the wood go to waste. So we'll just take some of it and build our house. I'm like, are you kidding me? So they did. They took the wood that was given to God's house and built their own houses. They took what belonged to God and spent it on themselves. I mean, unbelievable. Please don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong against having a nice house. There's nothing wrong against being rich. There's nothing wrong with that. Where it comes to be wrong is our focus shifts from God priority as these other things are priority. That God is no longer priority. My house is priority. God is no longer priority. My wealth is priority. And that's what's happening here is they're drifting away from God being priority. They're spending time on selfish pursuits and leaving God's stuff undone. God's not against you providing for your family. None of that. But the Israelites were using that as an excuse for not doing God's work. Bottom line, they were just being selfish. And then God asks a question to the Jewish people at that time. It's a question I want to ask to you. He actually asks it twice. You find it in Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways." God's basically saying, where do I fit in your picture? Where do I fit in? Do I got this little corner over here? This little corner called Sunday mornings? I'm really getting on you now. I apologize. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Love me anyways. But he's like, is this where I occupy, or I take priority in your life? Do I occupy, right before you eat, you say the Lord's Prayer? Is that my time? Where do I consider your ways? Consider your ways. Where do I fit in? It appears twice. God's saying you need to stop and think about what you're doing. He goes on in verse 5 and 6. He says, "You've sown much." So he's talking about the 16 years they've been there. "You've sown much, you harvested little. You ate, but never enough. You drank, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one's warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes in it." So during that time, they spent all their energy consuming themselves with tasks of rebuilding their houses, establishing their businesses, restoring their farmlands, their orchards, their vineyards. And yet despite all that, they didn't prosper. You catch that? They worked hard. 16 years, they put all their effort in all this, and they worked hard in establishing their business, establishing their family, and they're getting nowhere. Why do you think that is? I tell you, because God was like occupied this little bit of space over here. God wasn't priority in their life. God wasn't number one. God was just a part of their life, and because of that, they weren't getting anywhere. Why? Because when we try under our own power, our own strength, guess what? We're weak. But when we allow God to work through us, when we put Him as priority, and we allow Him to work with us, when we allow Him to guide our steps, when we allow Him to lead us, Him to direct us, guess what? He can make better decisions than I can make. When He takes number one, well, He takes priority. I know what I'm saying this morning is not easy. It's difficult. Because today we're influenced by so many things. So many things. When we just took a family vacation. One of the toughest things I ever did in my life. Why? Because we have adult children now. We're in a new phase of life. I don't like this phase. But having adult children means each adult child has their own calendar now. And so you got to coordinate 5 calendars to line up one. I mean, it was a miracle. We found 5 calendars to line up one week. So I understand there's a man's life. But here's one other thing I understand. Is if you don't make God priority, if He's just part of your life, all your effort's going to be for naught. And guess who sees it the most in your life? Your kids. Parents, I know you don't want to hear this. I debated even not even telling this story, second service. But I was growing up, God was priority in our family. And I love sports. I'm a huge fan of sports. I'm very competitive. I love it. So growing up, I always played team sports at school. That was fine. That was, there wasn't a lot of money involved in that, so I could do that. One year, though, I talked Mom and Dad and let me join a baseball team, like separate. It was like Parks Department, but it was a baseball team. They said yes. I mean, I was like head over heels. I mean, it was just awesome because I never got to do that. So baseball starts, we're practicing, we're loving life. I mean, it's just the best thing ever. And the coaches one night say, "Hey, we got to move practices to Wednesday nights." I wasn't loving life after that. Because what that meant for me is that means I couldn't play baseball. Because Wednesday nights was a priority for our family. We went to church. I'm not telling you, woe is me. I'm not telling you to judge you. I'm not telling you any of that. The reason I'm telling you that is for me, this is how I learned that God was a priority in my life. I hated it. I did not like it at the time. But today, I'm thankful mom and dad made God a priority in my life. Again, no judgments. Traveling ball is awesome. Sports is, I love all that. But there's got to be somewhere in your life where you say, okay, God is priority. If you never establish that as priority, then all these other things will take God's place. And your kids see that. That God's optional. In the book of Haggai, God became optional. In our society, God's become optional. And it's not that, you know, we get our coin, and again, it's not that work, sports, that's something good. You get to spend time with your family. I mean, that's good. But also there's something better that you can spend your coin on. And so I'm asking this morning, consider your ways. What's priority in your life? Let the worship team to come back. I need to wind us up here. Wind us down, maybe. Haggai, he didn't pull no punches with this sermon. It was a harsh rebuke for the people for building their own houses, looking to establish their own material prosperity before looking for their spiritual obligations. Haggai made it very clear that if God isn't put first, everything else you try to do is going to fail. After he delivered this message, the people repented, they got back to work, This morning, I think it's time to do some self-evaluation. Consider your ways. Because either God is the top priority or something else is. In your life, is God the top priority or something else is? Is work, is that retirement fund, I don't know. Is your hobby, is your whatever. So I'm here this morning to ask you, what is a top priority in your life? And I suspect that almost everyone in this room say, God is. Because that's what we're trained to do. We know it. God is. But is he really the top priority of your life? Because we'd all do well to this morning to say, consider your ways. Because sometimes we talk about what we think are the most important thing in your lives. But if those things aren't being lived out in our lives, then really, it's not the top priority. Because what happens is pressures, demands, expectations, jobs, they all press on us to fill our schedule. Do this, finish that, visit them, call them, go out with them. It seems like everybody wants a piece of us, a piece of our family, a workplace, a church, a school, clubs. And it seems like we got little to give, doesn't it? I mean, I'm not the only one. That we sit down, we're like, oh, we can't do this. Even my wife and I, we sit down, we look at the week. Well, I got this night. I got this. I got to go to this. Can you do this? It's like we're trying to, like, Jenga our schedule in. I mean, it's crazy. What happens is we find ourselves running through life. We're ticking off our list. We're attending to the necessary and the immediate and the urgent. But too often we miss out on the important. And Haggai is reminding us of that. It's not about management. Or because we have so many demands placed on us. It's about values and priorities. It's about what's truly important to us. It's about what's truly important to you. mom, dad, what's truly important to you? What's truly important to me is my kids. I'm a softie when it comes to my kids. They ask me for anything, I'm a gal. How can I make it happen? Melissa, on the other hand, she, you know, I'm kidding. My kids are the most important thing to me. So therefore, I want the best for them. The best for them is me to establish God as priority in our lives. The best for them is to see that He is a priority in our lives. The best for them is to see us live that out before them so they will have that in their lives. So therefore, God, it won't be an option. God's a priority. Why? Because it was a priority for mom and dad. Consider your ways. What do you value? What you cherish? Truth is, for some of us, Jesus, this isn't that important. Like, well, how do you know that? Well, because it tells. It tells in the way you use your time. It tells in the way you use your money, your talents. What Haggai is doing is challenging us to rethink our priorities, to know the difference between what's important and what's urgent. Won't you stand with us this morning? We only get so many of these. And it's funny how many days go by and you don't even realize you're just, you know, you look back like, I spent a whole day doing nothing. You know, like really wanted to. I spent the whole day watching, you know, or. And it's amazing how many times we just. The challenge is not something good, something bad, something good versus something better. The challenge is you're going to make a priority now in your family. You say, God's, that means some things you're going to say no to, some good things. But that, in order to make this right, you got to choose the better. That's God. Because I can fight, I can work to death, I can come up with all the schemes, how to do this, how to do that. But in reality, if I just trust God, He knows much better than I am. I mean, I know some of you guys are pretty sharp, but come on, compared to God. So consider your ways this morning. I'm going to ask the question again, what's priority in your life? And before you answer, just stop. Consider your ways. Consider how you spend your time, your talent, and your money. That kind of says what's important to you. What I want to do this morning is this, how I want to end the service this morning. I want to have the worship team lead us in a song. And I would love for everybody to take a moment to reestablish God as priority. Make a commitment to Him this morning. Committing, God, you're a priority in my life. God, going forward, I'm going to allow my time, my talents, and my money show that you're a priority, Lord. I'm going to say no to some good stuff so I can say yes to the better stuff, which is you. So I want to ask, will you make that commitment this morning? If you can't, don't fake it. It's okay. We're going to open up these altars. I'm going to invite you. You can come make your place. If you're not comfortable, you can stand at your seat, kneel at your seat, you can sit at your seat. My challenge for this morning is everyone in this room, take a moment to get alone with God to consider your ways. Consider your ways this morning. What's important to you? What's priority to you this morning? Would you join us in prayer this morning?